Message is war. What is it good for? I was going to sing it, but I thought, nah, I better not, you know. So James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we're going to read. Here we go. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Father, as we come to you today in this time of your word, I pray that, Lord, your word would just speak to our hearts and our minds. And Lord, if there's anything prideful in us, that, Lord, even as I share your word, it would be revealed to us that, Lord, that we could just get rid of it today. That, Lord, we could open up and receive your grace and walk in humility before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Delon and I, we used to live on a property that had, it was a third of an acre, and we had a swimming pool, and we had two backyards, and it was just a great house to have fun at. And the weeds used to come up, you know, because we had a big hill with ice plant, and, you know, the weeds would come up in there, and then we had, like, 20-something palm trees, and the weeds would come up there, and then she had, you know, like, 30 rose bushes and weeds would come up there, and then the dandelions would come up in the grass and everything. So when it was weed pulling time, Delonda would spend like 8 hours out there just pulling weeds, you know. She'd have her little shovel, and she had this little pink knee pad that she'd put on, and she'd be dragging that thing around, and she'd be digging and digging, and then I would come home from work or whatever, and I'd see her, and I'd be scared because it's like, oh, my gosh, she's been out there just with her face in the dirt all day, you know, and she'd have to roll into the pool when she was done. It was just terrible, you know, she'd get in them weeds, and I'd say, honey, man, you shouldn't work that hard. She says, well, then you do it. So I would do it. I went and bought me one of these, those hoe things that, you know, it's kind of open. It's not the flat thing, but it's kind of just a little thing, and you're done, you know. So I'd go, and I'd be done, and I'd get done in a half hour. And she'd say, how do you do that in a half hour when it takes me 8 hours to do it? I said, well, I just go, and she says, well, you can't be getting the root then. I went, Well, pride is the dandelion of the soul, writes David Rhodes. It goes deep, and only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seeds lodge in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. Weeds come up everywhere. You know, even... You know, you have your sidewalks, and there's a little bit of dirt in that sidewalk, and up comes a weed. Well, that's kind of like pride. It looks for any advantage it can have in us, and then it comes forth whenever it can. And in this passage that we just read in James, it kind of picks up where chapter 3 left off on with envy and strife, which was, as we talked about last week, jealousy and self-seeking. Is where the pride, and pride is the root of the jealousy and self-seeking. So as if we get to the root of the matters, maybe we can get rid of the weeds to where they don't come back. Amen? That's what we want to do. And as I said, the root, and we'll make this number one, and I think this is the only one today, the root is pride. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we sang about today, we don't want to be like the world. We want to be with the Father. We want to do things God's way. Can I hear an amen? That's the intent. We want to do things God's way. We don't want to be walking in the world. So when you talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, this pretty much covers everything, every sin that we're really going to go through, that we really have the opportunity to not walk in. Not walk in. Amen. Have the opportunity to not walk in. But pride is what, as we read, is what causes war. Pride is what causes war. People can't let it go. People want more. People want to have a desire for more stuff, more things. And this is where war comes in. And pride is of the world. And if it causes us to envy and to be self-seeking, when we know that it brings about confusion and every form of evil, as it talks about in James 3, we know what it does, but yet we still have pride. I was talking with somebody the other night, and they were talking to me, and they were saying some stuff. I said, well, that's just pride. Well, that's not pride. I said, well, yeah, it kind of is. You know, if you look at it biblically, it's pride. And they got kind of frustrated with me because I just I'm studying this so much that I pointed it out. And I'd asked a number of people this week, what does pride look like to you? You know, and James gives us a really good description of what pride is. And I put in my notes here, I said, pride will put us into protection mode of what we think safety is so we don't get hurt and offended. Pride puts us, because we don't want to get hurt or offended, that we have this thing about us of protection, which is very prideful, so that people can't get in there and hurt us or offend us. And I believe God wants to take that off of us. But James gives us a number of things as we looked in that scripture. He said this is the war inside of us, pride. It's a war inside of us. I received a prophetic word one time from Sandy Kareen. She said that the devil has left you alone. He figured pride would eat you up. And that, so he just left you alone because he thought I'd just destroy myself in pride. She said, but then he turned and he saw that it wasn't happening. So now he's coming after you because I didn't fall for the pride. Hallelujah, that I humbled myself. And how many of you know it's much better when we humble ourselves and not God? It works a lot better. But there's a war that goes inside of us. And Paul talks about this war that goes on inside of us. And it is a battle in our flesh, you know, not just pride, but to do what is good and what is right according to God and not follow our own flesh. There is a battle. And then he says, we want what we cannot have. How many of us do that? We want what we can't have. We put it into a dream. One day, and you know, I was getting today when we were praying that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I haven't had a chance to study that out, but I just kind of felt like when you're hoping in something and it's not coming and not coming in your timing, or even if it's not God, because it talks about here, the next one he says, you can't get it. It says, we can't have what we want. And then the next point, he says, you can't get it. But when we're asking God for something and we're hoping for something that God is not intended to give us, it makes our heart sick. That our heart gets broken and we get down and we get depressed and we get, you know, distraught because God's not giving us what we're asking for because we're not asking what God wants to give us. Because the great thing is God knows what you need. Amen? God knows everything about you, so he knows what you need. So when you're asking for something that he says you don't need, and your heart gets, it feels like your hope is deferred and your heart starts getting sick, that's on you. That's not God's fault. Because the next thing he says, you fight to get what you want. And when you're fighting to get what you want, this is pride. This is what James describes as pride. So that's why it's so important that we find out what God wants. Amen? I wanted a boat one time. I wanted it so bad. I wanted a boat. And I had great opportunity to Juwan. And the Lord, I was an hour away from going and picking it up. I created a little co-op. We're going to go together. We're going to buy this big boat. An hour away from going and picking it up. And the Lord said, don't do it. I'm like, what? don't do it. I mean, I got this co-op. I got these other guys. You know, we're all going in to get this boat. So I went to the main guy, which was the owner of my company at the time. I said, man, I was praying, and the Lord just told me I can't do this. Oh, okay. And the other guy was doing it because we made him do it. He was an employee. You know, so, but, you know, I really wanted a boat. But then a month later, my dad gave me a boat. See, it's God didn't want me to go in and do it that way. God had another plan. And sometimes we fight to get what we want. We do things. We go out of our way. We go into debt to get what we want. That's why I'm driving that old 2002 Ford truck, and my wife's driving that piece of junk Ford Focus because we're not willing to go in debt. Because I don't believe God wants me to go in debt. I'll tell you, there's times I want to just go to the dealership and get a new one. It's like, let me just roll up there, honey. Let's just trade them both in, get something, you know. But I just can't. I can't because I believe that God doesn't want me in debt. And so because I know God doesn't want me in debt, I'm not doing it. I just keep driving, and it keeps running. It just keeps running. So I'm not fighting to get what I want in that sense. And the next one, he says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. See, because when you want something, ask the Lord, amen? Ask God. Carly had a little medical thing this week. Her face was all swollen out. It was really puffy, and they thought it, you know, was this or that or whatever, you know. And so I called her and I prayed. I said, hey, in the name of Jesus. And I prayed and I called her back an hour later. I said, so is it all gone? She said, no. I said, what's your problem? I said, come on, man. We're asking for something that God says is ours. Amen. And that's how I look at it. When we're asking, not amiss, but we're asking in line with what God says. Listen, I don't have to pray if it's God's will to heal you. I never pray. I never go to the hospital. I don't care how bad a situation is. I never go and say, God, if it's your will, heal them. I say, God, you're the healer. You sent Jesus to pay the price for all of our sicknesses and diseases. So, Lord God, act on it and let's heal this person today in the name of Jesus. Anoint him with oil, lay hands, pray the prayer of faith, and believe. Amen? That's what we're called to do. We know God's will. God's will said, hey, I sent my son Jesus to die for you. He took all your sin. He took all your sickness and disease to the cross so I can call on him because it's his will that I be healed. You don't get what you want when you ask God for it because your motives are wrong. That's why God don't let you win the lotto. If you play it. Because your motives, he knows the motives of our heart. He knows the intent of our heart. So he's not letting us get those things. I've seen people win the lotto, and it's a scary thing. We had a couple that won it in our church one time. After the first couple years, I mean, they'd totally fallen away from God, were on drugs. Every year they got the check, they had to just give it back because they'd already spent all their money. They were so in debt. It just destroyed their lives. They got a divorce. It was a mess. God knows what's going to happen. So if you're asking him for $1 million and he's not giving it to you, maybe he doesn't want to, or you need to work some things out in your life. You need to get ready for it, amen? Listen, if you don't tithe now, you won't tithe when you have $1 million. Listen, if you made $100 this week and you can't give $10 to God, what makes you think you get $1 million, you're going to give $100,000 to God? It ain't going to happen. You're going to go, you want me to give you $100,000? Are you kidding me? So if you can't do it with a little bit, he's not going to trust you with a lot, amen? So when you're asking God for it, it's because you're not getting it. Maybe your motives are wrong. So you begin to ask according to what God is wanting to do in you. See, these are all pride issues. And then the next one he says, you only want what gives you pleasure. You only want what gives you pleasure. That's what James said. You only want what's going to give you pleasure. And think about that when you're asking, when you're praying, when you're seeking God. Why do you want it? What's going on? You know, just go through the list. Why do I want this? Do I need this? Is this something God wants me to have? Is this what God wants me to be about? You know, go through the list. Check, do a check with God. God will answer you. Yes, no, 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 no. Or it might be yes, 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 yes. And you say, hallelujah, God, bring it past. And then he says, we try and play both sides of the fence. We go with God, and we go with the world. And then he calls us this, adulterers. And that's not a sexual comment there. It's trying to go with God and trying to go with the world at the same time. You heard, God looks at that as adultery. And you're playing in the world and you're playing in the church, and God's like, you better make a decision because you're an adulterer. Adulterers don't inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty serious. And then he goes on and he says, we create an atmosphere where we are the enemy of God. And that's when we play in the world, when we become friends with the world, we become an enemy of God. And it has nothing to do with how you speak about God, whether you come to church or not. It has everything to do with becoming a friend of the world. When we're friends with the world, we become an enemy of God. When we're out in the world and enjoying the pleasures of this life in the world, we're becoming an enemy with God. Whew. You guys are all quiet. At least smile at me. Come on, give me a smile. Throw me a smile. There you go. Thanks, Lillian. That's nice. I'm just reading you. All I did was I went through the New Living and I broke it down, the New Living Translation. This is what it says, how it says it in the New Living. And then it says, you can't be friends with the world and be friends with God. It's impossible. We can't serve two masters, amen? Can't do it. So, and then lastly, pride makes you think that the scriptures don't have any meaning. It's kind of like thinking you're above the scriptures and your way is best. You know, there are some churches in America that believe their book has the authority over the Bible. That's pride, and that's wrong. It's wrong. And this is what stops us from looking to God first. Pride will always cause you to look for another way. When the housing crunch hit and things, and people were going to financial people for advice, they're going into the world for advice on finances, and you know they look at their finances, and the first thing they say, "Well, you'll be able to make it if you stop giving to the church." First thing they do, stop giving to the church, and you'll be okay. So, you know, this is where the it gets mixed up. But pride will show you another way. It'll take you another way. Remember I talked about Jeroboam last week. Jeroboam, you know, was told, I'm going to make you a king as great as David. You know, your kingdom is going to be incredible. But because of pride, Jeroboam couldn't allow his people to go to Jerusalem and worship, so he set up false gods. And that's what I put my next point. Pride creates golden calves in our lives and opens the door to evil. That's what it does. It brings separation between us and God and all that he has when pride gets away. As I talk with people this week, you know, I was asking them what pride does, and some of the results were people have a hard time admitting they're wrong. That's pride, having a hard time saying you're wrong. People have a hard time, number two, people have a hard time saying, I'm sorry. Because if you say, I'm sorry, then you admit that you've done something wrong. And then number three, people have a hard time letting go of wrong done. I know that's nobody here. So I'll skip on to number four. People have a hard time receiving from God. You know, to receive from God, it might be that somebody comes up and wants to give you something. And that might be a hard thing to receive. And as I was looking at this week, I thought, you know, just in watching people can receive from somebody they know has more than them. But it's really hard to receive from somebody that you think has less than you. It's like, you know, the homeless guy giving you money. You know, you're like, dude, I don't want your money. Come on. your situation. See, that's just pride. See, but we do that all the time. We say, no. Or, you know, and we push off how maybe God wants to bless you. And you got to be open to receive what God has for you. Amen. You don't want to let pride get in the way. But this is why Jesus came. He said, I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, one just like me who was with you and will now be in you. He said, I'm going to send him to help you. So because pride is something that we need help with. Amen. How many of you need help? We need help. So when Jesus said that he was sending another one, he was saying that he was sending someone just like him that would not just be with us, but was going to be in us. The Spirit of the living God was going to come into us. But the Holy Spirit, he doesn't change you, Mary. He doesn't change you, Karen. He doesn't choose your words for you, Amanda. He doesn't make you a different person, Romina, unless you let him. You have to surrender your will to the Holy Spirit for allow him to do what he wants in us. In verse 6, it says, he gives grace generously. Everybody say generously. Now, grace is not doing what you want and being forgiven. That's not grace. Grace doesn't mean you just go do what you want and then you come back to church the next Sunday and everything's okay because you're in the house of God. That's not grace. Grace isn't given to do what you want. Grace is given to do what God wants. Grace is given to us to allow us to step into what God has planned for us. Grace is the toolbox that God has filled with tools for us to do things His way. Grace is the toolbox. And it's filled with everything that God has for us. So when you're in a battle, when you're in a fight, you go to the toolbox. You know, when something breaks, you go to the toolbox and you get something that's going to fix it. Amen? Unmerited favor, undeserved blessing is what God has given us. The tools are not for those who have it all together, but for those who are working towards getting it together. The tools are for those that are broken. That's when we need the grace. What's in your toolbox? Do you need love? Do you need kindness? Do you need gentleness? Do you need finances? Do you need healing? What's in your toolbox? Everything you need is in the toolbox of the Lord. Everything. And our job is to learn to open the toolbox and tap into what God has set aside for us. Like maybe you need, let's see, if you need forgiveness, you go to the toolbox. And you pull out forgiveness. You go to Matthew 7:7 and it says, oh, forgive and you shall be forgiven. So that works both ways. When I'm having a tough time forgiving, the toolbox says, well, just forgive and you'll be forgiven. When I'm needing forgiveness, he says, forgive and you'll be forgiven. I know that I have forgiveness. I can go to the toolbox and pull out the forgiveness I need. But maybe it's healing that I need. Maybe it's healing your body needs today. So I go to the toolbox. I go to the toolbox of the Lord, and I say, oh, he sent forth his word, and he healed them of all his diseases. In Psalms chapter 107, he healed them of all. Everybody say all. He sent forth his word. And sometimes when you're battling in health, you got to go to the toolbox to get a word out so that it speaks life to you. Amen? It's because you got plenty of people, and you know, they're well-meaning, they're just caring people, but not everybody wants to go to the toolbox. They want to go to WebMD, and they want to tell you what's wrong with you. We go to WebMD, and we say, oh, it could be this, it could be that, oh my gosh, you better get to the hospital. But when we go to the toolbox of the Lord, by his stripes, I am healed. Whoa. And you take it in. And you just kind of. You wear it. But maybe you've been put to shame. You've been ashamed. In the toolbox it says, there'll be no shame. He said, in Joel 2:26, he says, and ye shall eat plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of your Lord God, who hath dwelt wondrously with you. My people, everybody say my people, shall never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Never. Everybody say never. Be ashamed. No shame in the kingdom of God. Amen. So when the enemy's trying to heap shame and guilt, say no. My toolbox is full with no shame. We take it out of the toolbox of the Lord, which is filled with things for this life to help us to get us through this life so that you can wear it. And the devil comes and he says, oh, you cough and somebody says, are you sick? Like, no, get away. No, I've got this. I've got a badge on me that's you can't see, but the Lord sees. I've got healing in my bones. Amen. I've got the healing power of the blood that's at work in me. We learn to go to the toolbox. When we go to the toolbox of the Lord, then pride just starts disappearing. Because when I go to the toolbox of the Lord, I just like to think I'm going to the well. You know, when I played football in high school, it's like, go to the well, man. That's where you go when you got nothing left to give, man. You go to the well, you dig deep. And, you know, and sometimes we got to just come in here and we got to dig deep. You know, instead of saying, letting our pride kick in. Yeah, I'm okay. I don't need any help. Of course you do. Of course you do. That's why Jesus came. He knows we need help. That's why he came. The toolbox of the Lord has everything in it we have need of. But we don't go to the well. We don't open it. We go in what the world says. Don't let pride keep you from humbling yourself before God. Say, Father, I need you. Father, I need healing. Father, I need forgiveness. Father, I just need you to touch me today. I need, Lord, I just need your presence. I need your, Lord, to you to just break off every shameful thing the enemy's tried to put on me. I need you, Lord, I need you. And just cry out to him daily. Let it be a part of who you are. Lord, I need you, I need you. And let it just echo in your hearts. Just know that his grace, his toolbox for this life is sufficient. We can't say the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. It is sufficient. It's everything you need. It's sufficient for you. Oh, my healing's falling out. My grace is sufficient. My power made perfect in weakness. His power made perfect in our weakness. His power is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient. It's all we need. It's a toolbox to live in this world, amen? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Hallelujah. We boast in the Lord, amen? We boast in the Lord. We wear it. We live it. We breathe it. It's a part of who we are. And if we can move past our own pride and admit our faults and that we need him, his help, the grace, the toolbox is open to us and we will rise in his strength. Philippians gives us that scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everybody say all things. His grace is sufficient for us to be able to do that. His grace gives us the strength to do all things. there are times when we really need to go to the well and we need to dig deep. You know, my toolbox at home is not very well organized. Londa just finds tools and she just sticks them all in the box, you know. Sometimes you got to just get in there and at the bottom, it's down there in the bottom of the box. And it may be crumpled up and not look so pretty, but it's mine. And I can take it. And I can wear it. Because His grace is sufficient. I'm not going to let pride keep me from what God has for me. I'm going to admit, I need you. Do you know that song, Juwan? I need you, Lord. Why don't you come? Let's sing that. I need you, Lord. How many of you would admit that we need Him? Let's pray. Father, as we come to You today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, our pride would just be destroyed by the grace that You have given us. That we would not hold on to pride, Father God. That, Lord, we would let it go. We would humble ourselves before You even today, Father. Lord, we just believe that we need You. We need You. We need You. We need You. It is, Lord, You who strengthens us. And it's You, Lord, that gives us the strength to do all things. Your grace, Your toolbox for this life, Father God. Everything that we have need of in that grace. The power to rise above, Lord, the situations of this life. Are you ready, Juwan?
Can we have words up?
Praise You, Jesus. Stand with us this morning. Let's make this song a declaration to the Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord.
Lord, I come. I confess.
Confess to the Lord today. Bottom of your heart, let it just flow today. Let's sing that last one again. Lord, I need You.
Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my
I pray, Father God, that, Lord, as we just let go of our pride and we humble ourselves before You, Father, that, Lord, that we would begin, Lord, to dig deep, to go to the well, Father God. Lord, for the grace that you have given us, Father. Lord, that it would come alive to us, Father God. That, Lord, that we would walk in the grace. Lord, that we could do all things through Christ who gives us strength, Lord. Because, Lord, you know everything that we have need of. And you have given us the grace. You've given us the tools, Father God, to walk in these things, to have the victory every day. So I pray that, Lord, it just be released into our hearts and our minds today, Father God, that we leave here victorious, Father God. From knowing that, Lord, we can dig deep in you, Lord, and just walk, and that we have this toolbox available to each one of us, Father. Lord, that we can walk in who you've called us to be. We can walk as your favorites, God. We can be the holy and beloved of God, Father. Lord, not just because you've said so, but because it shows. Let grace abound towards us, Lord. Let us have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, Father. And Lord, that we would walk as children of God's grace, not asking amiss, but asking according to what your plan is for our lives. Lord, we give you praise today. I just pray covering over everybody here right now. Health be our portion. Lord, financial blessing. Protection in the name of Jesus be upon the people of God as they go today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come back Wednesday night for a time of prayer and worship and seeking the Lord together. Don't disconnect.